Hello, cinephiles, and welcome to Indie Outlook, the show that sheds light on must-see cinema from the Windy City and around the globe. I'm your host, Matt Fagerholm of HollywoodChicago.com. I'm joined today by Nick Allen of the Scorecard Review, and I'll just be frankly honest with you. We just saw The Dark Knight Rises the other night, and it's kind of difficult to talk about anything but this film. But I think it's actually healthy because there are other great films out there, and you know, this is just an event on the calendar that will eventually drown out all the other conversations people are having about film at the moment. But there's other things to talk about, right, Nick?
There are indeed.
Yes.
There's somebody working much harder than Batman this summer.
Much harder than Batman, and his name is Mark Duplass.
Mark Duplass.
And this guy's been on my radar ever since he did this film called A Puffy Chair back in 2005 with his brother Jay Duplass. And they both kind of co-direct their own movies. They liken themselves to the Coen brothers, or at least they used to when they worked on their shorts. They kind of aspire to be the next Coen brothers in
a
sense.
Sure.
But I think it was really Puffy Chair where they really found their voice, found exactly what the style was. And I always found them to be the most accessible of the mumblecore, quote-unquote, filmmakers, which is a terrible term, and they hate the term. And it's totally a media... the media just threw this term at them, and it doesn't really mean anything. It just means it's a micro-budget, and people are going for naturalistic performances. But I thought they were always the most accessible of all of those.
Sure.
So, but I guess the reason I have to bring up The Dark Knight is just because it just clouds the national conversation to such a degree that there's other films out there. And as much as I do like The Dark Knight Rises, there are these other films that are kind of getting pushed aside. Case in point, Safety Not Guaranteed, which I think could have been a sleeper hit. I guess it was kind of, I think it did well in its release, but not a lot of people saw it. And I thought it was just a lovely summer movie. And Mark Duplass was in this film. He didn't direct it, but he acted in it. And he's really just as much of a prolific actor as he is filmmaker these days.
Absolutely.
And Safety Not Guaranteed was a great movie. It was him and Aubrey Plaza, who's hilarious. She's on Parks and Rec. Is that her?
I think so.
Show
one of those
credit?
NBC shows.
Yes, she's on one of those NBC shows. But I thought this was like her like star vehicle. I thought she was just great. Delightful. And there's always in all of Mark's performances, there's like a droll deadpan quality to his work. That's kind of a constant. In this film, Safety Not Guaranteed, without giving too much away, he's kind of a kooky guy who puts an ad in the paper saying, I need someone to go back in time with me. And so that gets Aubrey Plaza and all these people at a newspaper very, curious and excited, and so they go to pursue him. But this role could have, called for a really nutty, over-the-top, Gary Oldman-esque performance. But Duplass is still, he can still take this loopy character and make him kind of a likable, droll everyman. It's like the deadpan humor kind of follows him in everything he does.
Sure, I think it comes from a very natural place for Mark Duplass, especially his haircut always stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's
It's okay. It's okay. This is why we edit things. It's going down really quick. That's okay.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, how's it going?
No, I was going to say, I think it comes from a very natural place. It seems like his performances, at least from what we've all seen, are very consistent in that way. But it seems to be very... the way he wants to capture reality also seems to come from his acting. He wants to capture a very natural Mark Duplass. Duplass. Platypus.
Yeah, I just think he's just a very likable everyman, and I feel like that is what makes his film so effortlessly appealing. Like I feel with some other like micro budget independent films, like some of the characters are somewhat off putting. Like they're so kind of like narcissistic and like in their own worlds that it's kind of difficult to connect to them. For me as an audience member, I do connect when something just rings true to me. Like I don't need that just like, effortlessly likable. I don't need that engagement, but I think that's what's made the Duplass brothers. Is it Duplass or Duplass? I don't know what it is. I think this should just be our debate today is how do you pronounce Duplass? I don't know. Duplass. I like Duplass. It's sort of like con or can. It's kind of
okay,
a
sure,
sophistication.
Duplass.
It might be completely wrong.
Duplass.
I guess Duplass is fine. But anyways, regardless, I think that's what kind of gives them the edge over some of the other filmmakers as far as getting their work discovered. And I think that's because I feel like they kind of broke out before others did as far as into the mainstream.
Sure, Sure.
Because, I mean, Cyrus, I mean, we can talk about Cyrus because this film was kind of their first big, I mean, they had Puffy Chair in 2005, then they had Baghead, which was okay. I didn't think it was quite as good as Puffy Chair. I don't know, have you seen all of them?
I haven't seen Baghead, but I've seen every other Duplass
film. But Cyrus, I thought, was kind of their breakout. I thought it was a really excellent dark comedy, actually, in a sense. I thought they did a... And it was so uncomfortable. The humor just makes you feel like you're just, you know, just like squirming in your chair the whole time.
Sure, sure. But I certainly think the breakout attribute can certainly be attributed to the casting of it, the film. It mm-hmm. certainly received a boost from people who thought they were going to see another Apatow-ish man-child movie, this one starring the guy from Superbad and Dewey Cox. Granted, John C. Reilly has done plenty of work, but I mean, at that time...
Oh, absolutely.
He was working in a more comedic
because he started out, as far as in American comedies, as like Will Ferrell's, you know, right-hand man. And he had done many, you know, great indies before that, but that's right. How a lot of American audiences were introduced to him. And then with, like, Step Brothers, I mean, that's a perfect example of the mainstream, even more mainstream,
right.
You know, Apatow,
right.
You know, Arrested Development, man-child,
exactly.
Whole thing. And Cyrus takes it in a direction that's so it's almost painful to watch at times, but that's why it's funny. It's like you're laughing through clenched teeth just because
sure.
You're kind of
sure.
You know, squirming with these characters, because John C. Reilly plays a very likable guy in this movie. I thought, I mean, he is kind of a schmuck.
That's why he's likable, though,
that's
because
why
he's real.
Exactly.
You know,
at
the beginning
yeah.
of the film when he's like caught with his pants down in front of a computer. I mean, that's a very strong indicator. It's very indicative of Cyrus being kind of awkward but real, and certainly possible to be walked in on, you know,
yes.
and your type of lonely moment,
yeah.
Amongst other parts. But I think that's definitely why there is some strength to the reality, because you're saying they're not immediately likable, but they're likable because they're schmucks like us.
Absolutely, and he's aware of it too. I mean, it's like when he all of a sudden gets the attention of Marissa Tomei, who's just I don't think she's
that's
aged
not a reality
since,
though.
Yeah,
John
exactly. Well, she's
Tomei.
well she's I mean, she hasn't aged since she was like 19. I don't think.
I mean, I don't
she's
think
she has ageless beauty, but and you know, all of a sudden she seems attracted to him, and he's like, "What are you doing in the forest here with Shrek?" You know, it's like what are you doing out here? What's going on? And I guess it is a bit of the Apatowian wish fulfillment. I mean, he hasn't really done too much to attract her aside from just kind of being a nice guy who likes to listen to people, but sometimes, I mean, that's enough to attract someone, I guess.
Well, it certainly lets the story kind of move on, I guess. It doesn't have to be that hurdle, I suppose.
That's right. Just get rid of the BS.
But also,
of,
I mean, yeah. Let's not discredit, Marissa Tomei is a fantastic actress.
Oh, she is.
She's seriously fantastic, almost underrated or underappreciated for how many roles she's given, I'd say.
I think so.
I mean, she certainly
yeah.
has had great moments, but I mean, Cyrus is another one where she was utilized properly for her realistic dramatic qualities.
That's right. It was around the same time as The Wrestler too, which was she was fabulous in.
Yep.
And I mean, My Cousin Vinny is what she won the Oscar for, but it's like people kind of tend to forget that one. But
right.
she was
right.
a great comic presence. But she can do many different types of roles.
Yes.
And I think the Duplass brothers. I'm just gonna say Duplass.
Whatever.
They, you know, they really thrive in, you know, with working with actors that know how to understand how to play to a camera and have the nuances in their face and they don't have to have all the character description come through the dialogue. Like, we don't have to know why she's attracted to John C. Reilly. We can just look at her face. We can look at his face. It's like they're kind of communicating on a silent level, you know,
sure.
What's really going on between them. And so, you know, then when they start having this romance, then we find out that she has this son still living at home, played by Jonah Hill, who I just thought his performance in the film was revelatory. I mean, in terms of just how dark he goes, and yet how just I could sort of buy his character in a weird way.
Sure.
As just a total, just, you know, loony eccentric, but just a guy who's just so, he's so cleaved to his mother that he just can't.
Sure.
He can't break out of the
house.
Yeah,
I think that's a good example of kind of Duplass playing with reality, but kind of stretching it a little bit to
mm-hmm.
still be believable.
Mm-hmm.
As we'll talk with maybe Jeff Lives at Home, that's not so much, that kind of breaks in a way, but it still has that believability where this is like an exaggerated man-child, but it's still possible because of the condition Cyrus is living in, because of how attached he is to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of plays upon realistic attributes, I'd say, for real people, that even though it seems like Cyrus, when you go into it, you think it'll be just a comically overwritten character or just
mm-hmm.
a representation of Arrested Development, when he actually is just a very extreme example, but one that you could certainly digest and accept. mm-hmm. within this genre, especially for a Duplass film.
Absolutely. I think that Jonah Hill just... his character asks the questions that the audience is wondering, too, where all of a sudden he's wondering, like, did you sleep with my mom? It's like, I don't want anyone sleeping with her. And a film like that, you know, oftentimes you just kind of, like, sidestep those questions. It would just sort of, you know, just... But he asks that right at the moment when the audience wants to know it, too. So you're mm-hmm. kind of, you know, experiencing your own disbelief at the relationship mm-hmm. through his eyes, in a sense. So I guess that's our entry point into him, even though we're still rooting for John C. Reilly, sure. where his disbelief of this, you know, Apatowian wish fulfillment is kind of is mirroring our own, in a sense.
Sure.
But I like it, and I feel, but I feel like the ending, you know, not to really ruin the ending too much, but I mean, I feel like the constant in the Duplass brothers films is that they just, you know, they kind of end in a way that feels almost too hopeful, in a sense. I feel like some of their more accessible films tend to end in a way that feels a bit too neat, you know, at least for my liking. And I think that's why I go back to The Puffy Chair as a film that really, I really thought that was their best so far, because the way it ends, it's very unsentimental. I mean, you're basically watching a relationship, you know, it's Mark Duplass and Katie Asselton. I know Asselton. It's Asselton. Okay. Duplass, Asselton. Okay, we'll just go on that accent today. Let's just say that. Okay, Duplass, Asselton. There we go. They basically play a couple that you can tell their relationship is very strained in this film. Mm-hmm. And Mark thinks that they can repair this relationship by going on this road trip, you know, just, and it's a stupid thing. It's a stupid MacGuffin. They have a puffy chair they need to deliver to his dad. That's basically it. And it's just, it's an amazing film about this, about two people that kind of click, but kind of don't. Mm-hmm. And you're starting to see the decay of the relationship, and it's very funny, but it's also very, it's a pretty sad film too. I mean, I thought it was very emotional, and they don't really beat around the bush. I mean, they really show, you know, where this relationship
sure.
is headed. And I felt, to me, that was their most effective film to date, because sure. I felt like it didn't need like the Hollywood ending, I guess.
I would like to add that my favorite part about Puffy Chair, at least one that stayed with me much longer, is the subplot with his brother. Mm. Mark, I don't remember the actor who plays him, but there's this great point where the brother kind of gets away from Mark and Katie's characters and goes to a movie or something,
mm-hmm.
or he meets a girl,
yeah.
And they decide this girl and this brother decide they're going to get married, and it becomes this weird quandary that is certainly possible, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
Because these brothers don't really have an idea, and Katie even says, like, what is it with you two about relationships and not understanding, mm-hmm. and it becomes a good example, a believable example, or like an extreme one, kind of going along with the Cyrus character, where it is, it's believable because maybe one day someone really could think that they've done it, they figured out the right person,
mm-hmm.
and it just happens to be that day, and why not get married?
Sure.
So but it's also a unique concept too,
mm-hmm.
which I think was what really made Puffy Chair so powerful for me too, is that it is a unique concept, but it's certainly possible in an exaggerated sense. But it becomes, I don't know, I think I finished my thought about that.
Oh no!
I
think you're totally spot on, and I feel like if Cyrus followed the story in a way where the characters, I felt like just at the very end of Cyrus, the characters kind of compromised, you know, what they were the whole time, and I felt like, you know, a transition is possible in the characters, but I felt like it was just so neat that it just didn't quite. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's, you know, I was waiting for the other. You know,
the ending is cute, I'd say. Mm-hmm. It's certainly done in a subtle way. It doesn't, you know,
no,
the
exactly.
music doesn't swell up or anything like, you know, doesn't mm-hmm. doesn't go in any Hollywood conceit, but it kind of does feel a little tidy, I guess. But still kind of open. You don't really know what they're going to talk about in the next scene,
mm-hmm.
but you can kind of get the gist. And yeah, so
yeah.
hopeful. And maybe kind of corny.
Yeah, I just felt like the whole film had just an excellent, just very dark wit. I mean, it almost reminded me of like some of those great squirm-inducing classics, like the original Heartbreak Kid by Elaine May, which is great, which really follows its character to its logical conclusion brilliantly. Mm-hmm. And I felt like if Cyrus stuck to that, it might have been a somewhat stronger film. Even though I think it's a very strong film. I think it's their best next to Puffy Chair.
Sure.
But then their next film, Jeff Who Lives at Home, it's even more commercial, I feel, in a sense.
Definitely.
As a vehicle for Jason Segel and Ed Helms. And they're both terrific. I really think the whole cast is terrific in the film. I just think that I think that at least in this case, you know, they're trying to toy with this whole idea of like order in the universe. You know, they have a great monologue at the beginning where they make fun of M. Night Shyamalan's Signs, and you know Jason Segel is the arrested development poster child, basically. I mean, he's living at home, obviously, in the title. And he's like in his 30s, he's well into his 30s, and he's just waiting for life to, show like the grand scheme, to him. And I don't know if you saw a Todd Solondz film, Dark Horse, that came out, but I think those films are very much, twins in a sense, except that, Jeff is the lighter, happier twin, where, because both films are about these guys in their mid-30s who are obsessed with numbers and obsessed with dates and the meanings of names, like Kevin, and like, I'm clearly a dark horse in my life because society tells me that, dark horses get what they want in the end. And in Dark Horse, it totally doesn't happen. I mean, it's a Todd Solondz film.
Of
course it's not going to happen. But it turns into this crazy nightmarish fantasy. And I felt like that movie kind of fell apart in the end, at least in that way. And I felt like in Jeff, it falls apart in a different way. But it's sort of going back to the M. Night Shyamalan concept of, everything is happening for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Deus Ex Machina of the film. And I felt like that last act just kind of killed it in a sense.
Oh, I feel like, I agree. I feel like that's, it killed it, or it didn't work, or it stretched so far amongst coincidences and trying to get you to believe things would happen. About like relationships, like Susan Sarandon's relationship with someone at work.
Yeah.
Is just, it's almost surprising and strange, and it doesn't seem like it really stands away from the M. Night Shyamalan, Shyamalan.
Ah, who cares?
Duplass.
Pronunciations are
the
irrelevant.
M. Night Shyamalan, kind of fairy tale of Word of the Universe kind of thing. And I guess I don't like Jeff Lives at Home for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's where what I've been talking or mentioned before, that kind of always liked about Duplass, about this believability that's been kind of stretched, but playfully, but still intelligently, has been broken for the sake of a really dumb spectacle in the third act involving saving people from, a sinking van. And
well, it is the classic Deus Ex Machina. The characters are between a rock and a hard place, and all of the great ancient theater. That's when the angel descended from above and made everything right. And I felt like, I guess that's kind of cute because it's going into Jeff's head. But then it's like affirming Jeff's kind of skewered worldview that like eventually it'll all turn out all right. And so it's like, I thought that if it's affirming his worldview, how is that enabling him to grow as a character? How is that enabling him to get out of his house?
Nice.
And,
yeah.
and make those first steps to really becoming a more complete person. That's why I thought that
sure, it kind of keeps him in there. Yeah. I assume that Duplass brothers were smart enough to realize kind of how silly it almost seems at the end. It does seem like a dream at the end, but it's reality. But you're right, it does kind of keep him arrested in his development again, because it gives him, it says that fate is going to fulfill his crazy ideas, so he probably will. I mean, well, granted, he does fix something at the end that he was asked to do. So we're supposed to take that as some indication that he's going
like
to change.
Just like Cyrus, it's the indication at the end is more important than affirmation.
But still, no, I think indirectly maybe it kind of confirms, what his thoughts have been and so, in the sequel, will he be in the same couch, still smoking weed, waiting for a phone call that comes and then, gives him a mystery that leads him on a bizarre course of events that aren't actually really funny and that are also, just strange, I suppose, but also fulfill kind of the indie, quirky action, which is, not an original idea of my own, but like hiding behind bushes. And running dramatically, randomly, and so forth, sprinting, and all that kind of stuff you'd see.
Yeah.
There was someone cut together the Descendants trailer and the Jeff Lives at Home trailer, and they're very similar. There's even bush hiding, and there's sprinting, and there's goofy sprinting.
Adults acting like children.
Adults acting like children, and that kind of thing. So just that type of thing. So I basically, the mainstream appeal of Jeff Lives at Home, because even my dad wanted to see it, and he doesn't know the Duplass brothers or anything, but it certainly appealed to a wider audience, but I feel like it was not the right Duplass experience, I suppose. It didn't really give... So it kind of it sacrificed that, I guess, for a wider audience, for something different.
And I don't think it was a total washout, because I thought there were kernels of truth throughout the film, and I think there's a great scene between a Judy Greer and Ed Helms when he confronts her in a hotel room and she finally lets out, you know, what she feels about the relationship. And there's so much truth in there that when they get to the happy ending and she's like, oh, I love you, it feels false. I mean, what about everything you just said in the hotel room? I mean, it felt kind of jarring.
A lot of it
felt
false. It's like Susan Sarandon's part felt false. The, you know, coincidence coming together, the name Kevin coming together at the end. Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. So, yeah. But you've seen their latest film, which is not technically their latest because they made it a while ago and it's finally coming out. Tell me just a little bit about this film.
It's called the Dodecapentathlon.
Pentathlon. Okay.
It's going back to kind of the Duplass basics, where it's not big actors. It's Mark Kelly and Steve Zissis. They play two brothers who, when they were younger, they had this competition just between themselves, based off just small events like ping pong or something. It was called the Dodecapentathlon. And when they were younger, it had been shrouded in controversy. And the inconclusion of this event led to a distance between the brothers, where one of them went off to be a boring dad with a son and a wife, neither of which really knows what to do with. And then another one became kind of a loser, like a very Mark Duplass-looking guy with shaggy haircut and everything.
Yeah.
And then the movie is about them doing the competition again, basically, behind families' backs, which is a funny concept, but still kind of exercising those Arrested Development bones in their characters, so to speak.
I've heard good things about it. I've heard generally good
things. It is good. It is. It's a nice back to basics in that. Not back to basics, but it's a nice back to that funny concept. Still very natural. It's based on a true story. It's based on these brothers in Louisiana, where the Duplass brothers are from, that actually had a competition like this, where it's all these silly events that are not really actual sports. It's like, you know, holding your breath underwater or something like that. Or like, you know, running to get groceries or something like that.
Sure.
Or eating food fast. But so it has that nice believability, and it also doesn't hit you over the head with any type of whimsy that Jeff Lives at Home does.
Mm-hmm.
And it also even restrains the very unique but certainly polarizing camera operation done by Jay Duplass himself, which I'm sure we can get into.
Okay.
But it's a very distinctive part of the Duplass canon.
That was the last thing I wanted to mention, was the whole question of camera work, because I'm looking at Mark Duplass. I'm just going to try
just
out yours.
Do it.
Why not? I was watching him in these two wonderful films by Lynn Shelton.
Sure.
Hump Day and Your Sister's Sister. And they're both wonderful character studies, very intimate character studies. And there are scenes where two characters are talking and the cameras is just kind of resting there.
It's very nice.
And it just kind of back and forth. I mean, it's a very simple method, but it really engages you in the discussion. And I feel like a lot of the quick zooms in the Duplass films, it feels a bit excessive. It's like, I know they're going for naturalism, and I don't mind a slightly moving camera, you know, or even a jittery camera. I mean, if it's done in a way that, you know, is in the service of the narrative. But I feel like they use the quick zooms so often that it sometimes takes you out a bit. I felt that during Jeff.
Sure.
For sure.
Sure. I think the first time you see it in any Duplass movie, whether it's Cyrus or Jeff or Dodeca, it certainly kind of throws you off a bit. And I'm sure I'm not the first person to think this, but it is some weird type of editing, almost, or providing acute focus to something. Like, here's your entire scene, but focus on this.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Which is almost a little condescending, maybe. but I think, at least with Dodeca, it's restrained. It's not as obvious or doesn't feel as overly used or anything.
I didn't feel that in Puffy Chair either.
Sure,
so maybe it's
sure.
something
a little
bit. Oh,
I think Puffy Chair it works in that way.
Yeah.
But it certainly was overloaded in maybe Cyrus or Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny, and it was also it was nice to see the Duplass brothers return to a kind of a very masculine theme, because they they are two very, I mean, at least Mark is. Mark is a very, at least from personality, that he, like, he has to show the league, mm-hmm. which is based on. No.
That's right. That's right. The fantasy football show, yeah. which I hear is great.
It is. Okay. It is great, but Mark is commonly playing very masculine characters, and it is kind of exhibiting, you know, typical guy, at least I think so, like characteristics of this the regular man, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see just the Duplass brothers return to that, and kind of in the way of Arrested Development and competition,
sure,
and the kind of collision of that, and how, you know, some men will always be competitive, and or, you know, we'll never kind of lose that desire to know that they have won, that they've done the better job than whoever they're competing against.
Yes, and it's a perfect source. It's perfect subject matter for two brothers to tackle.
Yes.
I mean, it's,
yes, yes, and there's always been that interesting air to. One of the characters is named Mark in
the
movie.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
There's that, but it's they always like to explore the brotherly dynamic too,
exactly,
which is certainly interesting, I guess, considering their own creative process. But I guess they work closely together, and Jay does the camera work, and Mark's on monitor,
yeah.
or something. So
they find cool ways to balance and everything. So
yeah.
I don't want to get too negative, but I think it's like I care enough about their work where I really want to analyze it in a sense where I can see the strengths and I can see the weaknesses, mm-hmm. but I see all that potential, and,
sure.
and I go back to Puffy Chair, and I just feel like if they stick to their guns, you know, stick to the integrity of the story and don't try to, you know, mm-hmm. kind of cutify it, you know, at the end, I really think they're going to be all the better for it. But they're marvelous. People should check out Puffy Chair, Cyrus, Safety Not Guaranteed,
sure.
Your Sister's Sister. There's so many great titles out there, so check it out. Thank you so much, Nick, for joining me on the
show.
Thank
you, Matt.
And for all my recent reviews and interviews, you can check out HollywoodChicago.com. And for all of Nick's recent reviews and interviews, you can check out thescorecardreview.com.
Thank you.
That concludes today's episode of Indie Outlook. I'm your host, Matt Fagerholm, and I invite you to tune in next time for more coverage of the latest and greatest in modern independent cinema. Till then, I'll be on the lookout.